Especially the first verse there, speaking of our Savior, it says, "It is not night if thou be near. Oh, may no earthborn cloud arise to hide thee from thy servant's eyes." I think we'd often confess how easy it is for those earthborn clouds to arise at times. That's why it's a blessing to get together an evening like this and just draw our hearts and minds to the Lord again. This evening, our topic is about honor. I'm not sure what all Keith is going to cover, but the Bible does talk about honoring each other, and my thoughts were drawn to 1 Peter 2. And I won't be reading extensively there, but just be touching on that a bit. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17, it says, "Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king." And especially think about that first part, honor all men. And it's written in the context of submitting to every ordinance of men. I find that interesting. But the other thing that really stood out to me is that fear God in the center there. And I don't know how you find it, but as I was thinking about that, I think we might sometimes get the order mixed up a little bit. It might be easier for us to honor the brotherhood and emphasize loving God. But I think fearing God is central here. And we are asked to honor all men. But what I especially want to get here is going on in verse 19. He's talking to slaves or servants in the same context of honoring all men. And he says, "For it is credit to you," and this is from NRSV, I thought it was especially clear there, "For it is a credit to you if, being aware of God, you endure pain while suffering unjustly." And I think that is really crucial in our relationship to people around us, no matter what the circumstances, being aware of God. And I was just recently reminded in an inspirational book I was reading how Jesus Christ himself is the fountain of truth. As we look at his life, and particularly as we look at him on the cross, basic truth is revealed to us. And that book was especially bringing out the truth of what sin is. You know, in that gory death on the cross, you know, unclothed, blood streaming down, matted hair with blood probably, the most cursed of deaths, that's what God thinks of us as sinners. He is the picture, that's the picture of how God views sin. And I would just encourage you to ponder that sometime. There's a second truth that we see when we look at God, Christ on the cross, is the depth of his love for every man on this earth. And that might relate a little more closely to our topic tonight. When he was willing to become that sin in reality, to show that love, the depth of his love for every man. And then the words, then coming back to what he says here in 2 Peter to his servants for their masters, he said how they should respond, being aware of God. And I wonder if we have that awareness of Christ's love on the cross every time we meet someone, how would that change how we respond to that person? Because I think all of us, we're very dependent on our senses, and we have immediate responses that come up when we see someone. If it's someone who is slouching along, looks filthy, there's a revulsion that comes up immediately. Or it might be, if we see a successful, apparently successful businessman driving a nice car, something totally different comes up in us. And I think, and I was just wondering myself, if I would suppress those first emotions and just ponder what Christ's love for that person, what he did for that person, what Christ wants for that person, how that would change how I view that person. Just leave that as a challenge for all of you to think about, and I trust Keith will challenge us further. I'm not sure what he has, but it was a blessing for me to think about those things and just remember what God did for me and for each one on this world. We'll move on into our prayer time now. Okay, if that's all, we'll turn the time to Keith now.
good evening and greetings to all. I don't know what went through your mind when you heard the topic. When Tim first talked to me about it, it seemed a little bit vague, and I thought, well, where do I go? Where do I go with this? And how much does the Bible say about honor? But the more I got into it, the more I studied it, I was astounded at how much the Bible does say about honor and respect. And I came to feel that the whole Bible really exhibits a whole culture of honor and respect. And we'll get into more of that on why that is. But it's, you know, when you look at the Bible as a culture of honor and respect, exhibiting a culture of honor and respect, and compare that with what we see around us, there's some vast differences. And I also realized how, the more I got into, how much I lack. And so I offer what I do tonight because I desire to grow in this. And I'm value your input as we look at this together. I'd like to read over a list of questions, and I'd like to have feedback on most, if not all, of these questions from you. And it's about 8 questions, and then we'll go through them one at a time as time permits. We may be able to hit some or hopefully all of them to some degree as relating to honor and how we show honor and respect to others. And I'm using honor and respect somewhat interchangeably because I don't think you can have show one without showing the other. Somewhat a synonym, I guess. Questions I'd like to look at, and some we'll spend more time on than others. First of all, the basic question, what is honor? And along with that, what is the opposite of honor? 2, is this trait readily evident in American culture and society? 3, why should we show honor and respect? 4, what keeps us from honoring others? 5, to whom should we honor, show honor? 6, what biblical examples do we have? 7, how does it make us feel when we are respected and honored by others? And 8, how should we show honor to others in some practical ways? And this is just a springboard for discussion. I realized the more I got into it that there's no way to cover everything, and that's not the intent. But what I would like to see is that we could encourage each other to talk about it and to encourage a culture of honor among us. First, back to the first question, what is honor? How would you describe honor? Feedback from you. Respect. Okay. Others.
Another question with that is it something that is only shown or something that is felt?
Okay. Good question. I think you can go through the motions without feeling it. And I think it has to be an attitude of the heart, and we'll get into more of that later. I appreciate that clarification. Any others, synonyms, or what is honor? Arlen. Okay. How would you answer that question? Lowell.
I think you apply here, but it seems to me you can respect a lot of people for their age or for whatever their position is, but to honor is somehow to hold that respect and esteem in some way.
Okay. That's helpful. Anyone else? David.
I was going to say, the Bible would say
Okay. Someone else started to say something. It's and it can be a byproduct of honoring someone. They can be encouraged by that. Okay? Arlen, do you have more on that?
I'm just thinking of the way we use the word.
Okay.
We talk about respect, say, a law or a rule.
Mm-hmm.
We don't talk particularly about honoring that. Somehow I think in those who have rules that honoring is a more something that's always not over respect.
Okay. Okay. All right. Appreciate that. Oren. The dictionary would give, of course, it has a long list of different usages and that kind of thing, but what I picked out was to regard or treat with honor or respect, recognize, show esteem for, show value. I think value is a key part of the equation. Some synonyms that came with that: homage, reverence, and deference. And those have their limitations, but those are synonyms that came with that. But I think harking back to what Paul mentioned, it is an attitude; it's a lifestyle. And one thing I thought about is that giving honor. And we'll get into more of this later, hopefully. But giving honor is Christ-driven. Giving flattery is self-driven. I think someone who's if we aren't sincere, it will be flattery. So what are some opposites of honor? Obviously, disrespect, et cetera, but what are some other opposites that come to your mind?
Self-centeredness.
Okay, self-centeredness, individualism. Okay, any others?
Disdain.
Not showing regard for others. Pride, I think, is a key part of that. Okay, moving on to the next question. Unless someone else has something else they want to add quickly. Perry.
I have a question we would notice when it said in Romans 13 about paying tribute
okay.
to
even
do opposites.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that helps explain what you're trying to do.
Okay, appreciate that. Second question, is this trait readily evident in American culture and society? And we briefly talked about this before, I guess, but kind of a no-brainer maybe, but I don't think it is at all. And I think even over the last number of years, that what you want to call the erosion of honor, at least the erosion of respect, if we want to make a difference there. And I think some cultures do a lot better at showing honor to their elders, to their parents, for example, to the different people that we are asked to show honor to, that the Bible asks us to show honor to. Some cultures do a lot better job than the American culture does. The American culture idolizes youth, and some cultures tend to highly respect and regard the elderly, or parents, etc. Comments from you about our culture that we find ourselves in, or other cultures. I think because we find ourselves where we do, in this sense, I think it makes that much more important that we begin to teach our children how to respect and how to honor from a young age. And this comes out in Scripture as well. Children's response to parents, etc. I had an experience, or my wife and I had an experience before we were married that I probably won't ever forget. And I won't give you the whole story, but the short story is we had car trouble late at night, and we're on our way to her parents' house, and they knew we were coming late, and we were traveling, and we had car trouble and coasted off on an exit with no gas stations or businesses close by, and our first response was, well, what else are you going to do, I guess, but pray, because it was the time of night that people weren't, there's a lot of traffic, but it was close to the main tourist attraction, it was close to Niagara Falls, and not many people were stopping, and it was sort of a rural exit off the main freeway. And so we prayed about it, and car came down the ramp, and they didn't stop, and can't say I blamed them for considering circumstances in the area where it was at. The next car that came down, I said I need to be a little more proactive, and I got out and tried to flag them down. They ended up stopping, and the short story is that he was he held me very much at arm's length until I made it clear that from our moral standards that we were believers, and he immediately stuck out his hand and said, "Well, I can consider you a brother in the Lord," and immediately had a very, very different demeanor. And they ended up offering that we could stay at their house for the night, and they were examples of showing honor and respect. They did not know us at all, first time we'd ever met, and they treated us in such a way that, well, I mean, you could say, not knowing somebody, it was a blessing the way they treated us. And we ended up talking later on into the night. The next morning, they had a full breakfast for us, and then their children came out to eat breakfast with us, and their children's interactions with us was Mr. Miller and Ms. Martin. They were a Dutch family, Dutch Holland Dutch family, I believe. And they were shown, they very much were very respectful in the way they spoke to us. You don't see that in many cases. Now, can that be done in a way that is an end in itself? Well, of course, like anything else. But I think we got the picture that they lived, they treated others with honor, and expected their children to do so as well. And it made a big impression on us. They sent us on our way with their cell phone and told us to drop it in the mail when we get to our destination, and which we did. And I've often wished since then that I would have kept their name and number, but I didn't. But just an example of a family that knew how to show honor and were teaching their children how to do so as well. Moving on to the third question, why should we show honor and respect to others? Maybe kind of a no-brainer, but what feedback do you have? Why should we show honor to others? Appreciate that. Why is it important to show honor others of you?
by showing them honor.
It's very, very valid. Right.
A body of people working together, everyone is self-centered, yeah. Self-focused. You know what happens? It's God's way of three origins.
And that sort of leads me into the thing of working together as a church. I think in the brotherhood, when we extend honor to each other, that's like oiling the gears of church life. And then with unbelievers, should we show honor to unbelievers as well? I believe so, and we'll get into that more of that later, but I feel like when we extend honor to an unbeliever, it opens up a door of opportunity to share with him if he doesn't feel respect as a person, doesn't feel honor, it's going to be much more difficult to witness to him, to show him God's love. I was using it in a general sense, but what did you have in mind? Okay. I was looking at it as what's around us and influences us. Whether we like to admit it or not, it will influence us to a certain degree, and how much it influences it depends on. Gary. It's an everyday, practical example. Thank you for that. Okay. I have seen on the flip side of that, I've seen at my workplace the detriment that comes from when those who call God and follow, say they follow him, display disrespect and arrogance to the unbelievers around them, how that very much closes them to the gospel. They don't want to hear anything of it. So that's the opposite of what Gary's mentioning here. I think when we honor someone, we're saying that we value them as the person that is made in the image of God, and we can learn something from them. And I really think that's foundation for showing honor to others, both believers and unbelievers, is a simple fact that all of us were made in God's image to bring glory to him. And so when we honor those around us, that is in return honoring our Maker. And I think that's a foundational thing for us to look at. And it also ties into the dignity of life itself, and you could talk about, you know, everything from the unborn child to the elderly. And I'm seeing that the time is going more quickly than my notes are, so we'll keep on moving on. Question four: what keeps us from honoring others? And we've touched on this a little bit, but just to reiterate, what keeps us from showing honor to others? I think Paul mentioned being self-centered. I think that's a kind of a central part of that. Lowell? Very important. That's a good point, because others' actions do make it very difficult to show honor to them. But that doesn't take away from what we're asked to do. God resists the proud, gives grace to the humble. We're well aware of that. Question five: to whom should we show honor? And I was surprised how many different groups of people that Scripture points out. And I'd like to read a number of verses with regard to that. And something, I mean, I guess at the beginning I'd like to say, okay, our first responsibility is to honor God. God is honored first, and then men. The whole thing of, and Lowell, you mentioned this, the whole thing of being a respecter of persons, easier to honor one than another, comes into play. And I'd like to have someone read Romans 2, 10, and 11. Just call out the reference and stand up and read it as soon as you have it. Okay. Go ahead whenever you're ready.
The glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile, for there is no respect of persons of God.
So then that comes up numerous times in Scripture. That's just one example, but God is not a respecter of persons, neither should we. James 2 refers to our side of it then, and I won't, for the sake of time, won't read the whole passage there, but it talks about someone coming into the assembly with gold rings, goodly apparel, etc., and then, okay, you sit here, and others who may be poor, you sit over here, etc. The end of that section there says, but if you have respect to persons, ye commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. It's not a very pretty picture. God isn't a respecter of persons, neither should we. But our humanity and our initial reactions, like emotions, like Nathan pointed out, often get in the way. Any input on that as far as thing of being a respecter of person before we go into the different people and groups of people that we're called to honor? Anyone? If not, that's fine. First of all, I'll just give out a bunch of references, and then I'll just call them out, and whoever would like to read that, and we'll go from there. These verses are pointing out different groups of people that we are to honor. Leviticus 19:32. 1 Timothy 5:1 and 2.
5:1-2.
Okay. 1 Timothy 5:3. Perry, I'll just let you take that one as well. 1, 2, and 3. 1 Timothy 5:17. Someone else. Exodus 20:12. Proverbs 23:22. Okay. Ephesians 6:1-3. Okay, 1-3. Romans 12:10. Philippians 2:3. First Peter 2:17. Romans 13:7. 1 Peter 2:17. You got that? Okay, I already mentioned that. Sorry. Okay. I guess it encompasses several different groups of people. That's why I had it in several places. Okay. And 1 Timothy 6:1. Okay, and one more, 1 Peter 3:7. Okay. And we'll go through these fairly quickly for the sake of time, but if you could read the verses, I give the reference again and then share what group of people or persons we are to honor by virtue of that verse. Leviticus 19:32. Okay, so who are we to honor there?
The old man.
Okay, older people. Okay, 1 Timothy 5:1-2.
Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger a man as a brother. The elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters, with all purity. Honor widows that are widows indeed.
Okay, so that encompasses a number of different groups there. Okay. 1 Timothy 5:17.
Let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. So they have elders, especially ministers working in the word.
Okay. Double honor there, it says, whatever that means. Okay. Exodus 20:12. Okay, parents. Proverbs 23:22.
Excuse me,
okay. All right. Ephesians 6.
This comment about this verse you read, that's the promise of Ephesians 6:1. Honor thy father and mother, that it may be well with you. Is that what it says?
Okay.
There's the promise.
Okay. Ephesians 6:1-3.
Children, obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, because the first commandment is promised, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long in the earth.
Okay. And Proverbs 23:22. Do you have that, David?
Yes. Hearken unto thy father, that they get thee, and despise not thy mother, that they be
okay. Romans 12:10. Philippians 2:3. Okay. 1 Peter 2:17. Oh, man. Okay, that answers the question. If we are called to honor both believers and unbelievers. Okay, Romans 13:7.
This is talking about subjection to magistrates. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor.
Okay.
Recently, while traveling, we had a young man with us, his name was Ryan Knight, as we all practically all knew him. And I was impressed of his consciousness. Didn't say anything, just did it. Speed limit, perfect. Lanes changing, perfect. I respect all that.
Okay. I appreciate that. Okay. 1 Timothy 6:1. And that actually ties into your example that you gave earlier. 1 Peter 3:7.
Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together with the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered.
Okay. To honor our wives. And there are other verses you had to stop somewhere, I guess. But it's all over Scripture, and that's part of what I made me start feeling more and more like the whole Bible is a culture of honor, showing a culture of honor. Question six: what biblical examples do we have of men in the Bible who showed honor that we can learn something from? Just quickly, several men that come to your mind, Perry. David, he could have killed Saul and said, "No, I will not do that to the Lord's anointed." And when you consider Old Testament context, it's especially astounding that he didn't do that. But he was a man after God's own heart, and I think that he had that clear focus in his mind. Any others?
Joseph.
He honored his boss, he honored Potiphar by not violating his wife, and honored God and this lady as well by not sinning against them, sinning against God. Others?
Abraham honored Lot to the reverse scenario. Mm-hmm. Maybe he was honoring his promise to Lot's father. I don't know.
Okay. Appreciate that. Any others? Paul.
He showed respect and honor when he answered when he was called.
Mm-hmm. And I noticed with that he offered, you know, in his letters, he would salute this person and that person. And in his letters, it's evident that he showed honor to others, the way that he wrote and citations that he made, etc. David. Okay, I hadn't thought of that, and that's important. Okay, there's one time that honor was bestowed on Paul as well. Can you think of that incident? Somewhat unlikely source, but when they were, go ahead, Gary.
Paul and Barnabas were called the gods of Mercury and Jupiter.
I'm not sure if that's the same one I'm thinking or not, but they were stranded on the island of Melita, and. And they did think they were gods. I'm not sure if that those particular ones came out, but they ended up healing people there, and that's where he shook off the snake and the list. Acts 28:10 talks about the people showing them honor. Jesus obviously showed honor. First of all, to his heavenly Father, and then one incident I thought it was the way he treated the Samaritan woman. I mean, there were social stigmas. There were a lot of different things that could have made him say, "I won't have anything to do with you," but he chose to show honor and bring her, and it gave him a place to bring her to truth. Next question, unless someone else has another example they'd like to share. And this, we don't need to spend a lot of time on this, and we've covered some of this, but how does it make us feel when we are respected and honored by others? What is a byproduct of that in our lives when someone shows honor to us? Okay, that's important, David.
Okay.
Oren. Okay, Ollie.
Unworthy if we do it in the name of Christ.
Okay, thank you for that. And the last main question, the remaining few minutes here, how seeing the basis and the foundation for honor from the Bible, from Christ's life, etc., how then should we show honor to other people, both in attitude, in practical action, whatever? What do you have to say to that? I did notice before you, or while you're thinking, notice with the Ten Commandments, the first section, the Ten Commandments, talks about our relationship to God and honoring Him, etc. And the last section of the Ten Commandments talks about violations of other people, how we, you know, murder, stealing, etc. And I thought about that, you know, if we honor God for who He is, and then in turn honor others as a result of that, I think it makes it almost impossible to violate the last half of the Ten Commandments. If you honor someone, you can't rob them, and you can apply that to any of those coveting, etc. If we honor them, we can't go against them in that way. Input on that, or on with how we show honor to other people. Arlen. Hey, Oren.
The thing I've wondered more than whether we practice on ourselves is it kind of bothers me sometimes when there aren't.
that. Arlen, go ahead. Do you have something else? Looks like maybe not.
Well, I thought about why we don't. I think probably part of it is we may react to other people, well, considered overuse of other things, you know, reverence so and so, and those kinds of things that we think we need to overuse. I think our
Conrad. David. Okay, other input on that, Gary and then Paul.
So the challenge is how to train our children to know the difference. If we have those opportunities, let's do it. And I also notice that kind of treasure when some people move amongst us from another area that they tend to express their appreciation with thank you notes. And I think perhaps they would notice our lack of that. So maybe we could stand some exercising of those muscles too.
Good point, Paul. Linda.
I was convicted this last week when I was out shopping. Without thinking, I stepped in front of a person as they were going in a direction, and it would have taken me 1 second to wait on them, and it would have been showing honor. Mm-hmm. And I think some of this has been making more impression on me, because Julia lives in the South, and she keeps talking about it, how people in the South are so much more prominent than they are here. Just for example, I'm used to carrying 50-pound bags at work, so without thinking, I take
appreciate that. It's helpful. Others? It's more of a... Okay, Mark. Right. It's not genuine, it's flattery. Marvin just mentioned that sometimes when people use Mr., that they're trying to sell him something. Julie, you're about ready to say something. Maybe not. Okay, Gary?
The other day, an accountant took me and my father to the front door, and it was down quite a long hallway, and it's his custom. I always feel like he's showing us respect, and he's friendly as he does it, too.
Yeah.
And but I also notice when people do that, when my wife and I visit, or so, in a home. I believe that's a good habit. And I especially enjoy in Europe how people walk you out to the car. And so there are different customs that kind of tie, and they may not all be just perfect or just right, but to show people goodbye by some of these actions carries some meaning too.
Well, I think what happens when some of those things take place is that it is essentially expressing that you have value, or whoever you're showing honor to have value as a person, and it flies in the face of an individualistic mindset. If it's just me and my focus and my thing, I'm not going to want to take the time to show someone else that they really matter, or that they. I feel like individualism is a direct opposite, or is counter to showing honor. Any other comments, Tim? You're right. I think bottom line to show honor to others, it takes humility, it takes Christ in us to show true honor. To try to see people through Christ's eyes. Let others be first. Let others receive the public recognition. Promote other people. Value someone else's opinion. Be willing to learn from someone else. Be teachable. Be generous, sincere, and encouraging. The golden rule goes a long way. And just a little additional little note on the being a respecter of persons. I was talking to a man at work about this topic, and he said that he had heard about has heard of men who have dressed up as a drunk or a bum and walked into their own very own church service disguised in such a way that the members don't know who he is, that he's a normal member, just to get a feel for how well their church does at extending honor and respect to. It's a good thing to think about, because we, like Nathan mentioned, it's very easy for us to quickly categorize that kind of person in contrast to a profitable businessman, for example. And really the core issue comes down to the fact that they are made in God's image, and they both deserve us showing them honor. We're out of time. I hope this gives you something to stimulate further discussion, and maybe I would even encourage you to take a look at Scripture, pick up a concordance, and look through all the times that it refers to honor. I think you'll be blessed by it. Just a few snippets in closing, reiteration of what we've already said. The Bible exhibits a whole culture of honor. Honor is Christ-driven, flattery is self-driven. In the brotherhood, extending honor and respect is like oiling the gears of church life. With unbelievers in the world, extending honor and respect opens doors of opportunity and witnessing. The foundation for showing honor and respect to others, both believers and unbelievers, is the fact that all people were made in God's image to bring glory to Him, and we honor Him by honoring others. We honor God first and then men. And it takes humility and Christ in us to do this. Thank you for your help.
Heavenly Father, I just thank you for the opportunity we had tonight again to be reminded of a way that you call us to walk. You call us to honor our fellow men. And I pray that you would instill that attitude in our hearts. You would take away all the self-glorying, self-centeredness that tends to grow in ourselves, and fill us with the honor for each other. Just help us to more and more lift each other up as vessels in your hand, to see each other as you see them, and allow you to work through us as you want to. Just pray that you would guide each one of us as we go to our homes. Help us to live the rest of this week to your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.